Everyone, welcome to Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church. Let's all stand for our first hymn. Please stand, grab a favorite gospel songs, page 49. Page 49. We'll sing all three verses, page 49. You be seated. Let's turn over to page 13. Page 13, please, for our next song.
morning, everybody. It's good to see the number out today. It always throws me off to look out here, and I think, well, we've got empty seats, and then this bunch back here. So, I forgot. Yes, it is. I agree. That is a blessing. We are always thankful for everyone that wants to come forward and to sing in the choir area. It helps Brother Brad out by people being up here and helping in the singing. It gives him something to hear. He hears you back this way, but it just amplifies it when you're closer to him. And so we always want to encourage anybody that has the ability to sing to come and join in the choir is what we want you to always do. Good morning, I should say, and it's good to see everybody here today. We got several visitors again today. We are thankful for you being here, some for the very first time, some have come just a time or two, but we're glad you're here today. We just want you to join in and worship the Lord today in this service is what we want you to do. So just follow the Lord is what we would ask you to do. I can't call this a thank you card, but it is from the Missionary Baptist Literature Group is where it's from. The place where we get our Sunday school books. It is from Brother Andrew Stokes and Sister Rebecca Vanderpool. And they are sending their love and prayers at our loss of Brother Jeff, is what they're doing. And I thought that was very nice of them. And we just want to be prayerful for the Missionary Baptist Literature Group. I also have a card, and I didn't bring it up here, from Brother Charles Allen Gentry's family, thanking the church for what they did for that family during the time of Brother Charles Allen's passing. And so I'm just going to leave it at that. They do express their thankfulness towards us for what we did for them. And so with that, these cards are signs that we have been busy, that we are trying to do some things. And so people are thankful for us here at Murfreesboro, for us being here and serving God. And that's what we want to do. And we are thankful for each and every one being here today in our service. And we are glad that you're here today. With that being said, let us move along with our service today. For our first-timers, I like to explain it. We have what we call a children's church. Brother Sam does our children's church. We gather all the little kids in, and he does just a little quick lesson for them, just for them. Brother Sam, if you would, at this time.
I'll do that. Come on. We got a schedule to keep. Right. Good. Who's happy that school is back in? Oh, I got a hand. Good for you. Yeah, good. I like that. Yeah, that was for them. That's who it was for. Well, this is a big bunch up here, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. Close to our record, but y'all look better than anybody I've ever seen. Good to see y'all. I missed you this week. Did you miss me? Count on little kids to tell the truth, Tom. I love it. All right. Good. Good to see you. I won't keep you long, but y'all are looking good. Okay. Who has friends? Everybody has friends. We like friends, right? Do we like to do good for our friends? Do we like to help them? Yeah? Do you think you have enemies? People that don't like you? Do you like them? What do you think the Lord says about our enemies? Let's see. Matthew 5:44. Listen close. Put your listening ears on. I know you can hear. Love your... Here we go, right here. Look at me. Love your enemies. Oh, gosh. Did he really say that? He said that. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Whew. That gives me chill bumps to think about that. Why does the Lord
want us to do good to people that hate us. Can anybody tell me that? Because in the next verse, he says, because God loves them too. He loves everybody. Jesus shed his blood so that he might save everybody. If we go around acting like that we have enemies and we hate them and do bad to them back for doing us, that's not very nice. That's not what God would have us to do. And if you can do that, if we can do that throughout our lives, do good to our enemies, do good for them, help them, then that's what being a Christian is all about. You will be like Jesus if you do that. You'll be like God. That's what God would have you to do. It's hard. Oh, I want to lay down here and die because it's so hard to think that I've got to do something for somebody who is out to get me. But we ought to pray for them, do good for them. If they hit us, don't hit back. I don't think they'll physically hit you. But what I'm saying is if they do something bad to you, don't get to their level and do something back to them. Pray for them. Tell your mom and dad, Lord, we need to pray for so-and-so. They were called me a name. All right? You think you can repeat part of that after me? Can you do that? Yes, you can. Stand up. Let's say that. This is Matthew 5. Stand up. Parents, y'all need to get some energy drinks or something on Sunday morning. I don't know what I got to do to them, Miss Ruth, but you know. Once more, like we mean it, like we were at the ball game, okay? Love your enemies.
Love your enemies.
Bless them that curse you.
Bless them that curse you.
Do good to them that hate you.
Do good to them.
Thank you. I hope y'all do well in school this week. God bless you.
Thankful for the good lesson, and that's a good lesson that needs to be taught to our children, that God wants us to love those, and I like the way it puts it in another place, those that despitefully use you, and they just out of spite, they do things to us, and we're still supposed to love them, as Brother Sam said in that little lesson. We are thankful for that this morning. We want to get into the rest of our service now. We're going into our prayer time here in just a few minutes. Does anybody have a prayer request on your heart? Or hell. Let's do remember this. Somebody else. Thank you, Miss Jonna. Let's do remember her daughter. Somebody else. I want us to be prayerful one for another. We've had a good spirit in our church here the last several weeks. But one thing that I've always understood is that the devil is looking for a place to creep in. And the best way we can keep him out is if you pray for them, and that one prays for this bunch, and those others pray for these, and these pray for those. That helps keep the devil out. So let's keep that in mind here this week. Be prayerful for one another, and let's just ask the Lord to grant us a great big blessing today. I'd love to see somebody get saved today, wouldn't you? I'd love to see that. So let's get that on our hearts this morning. Let's ask the Lord to come into our midst and just help us to be what we need to be for God's sake. Anybody have anything on you else that we need to pray for? Let's all pray. I believe I'll lead today.
Let's turn over to 170. 170. job on that. Choir, won't you stand? We'll sing one more song this morning, Lord willing. 256. 256.
Thank you, Sister Janice, for the good playing this morning. We are appreciative of all that has been done thus far in the service, the singing and the songs and the praying that was done. I'm trusting that every one of you prayed for me and for everybody else. I trust that you did that. Does anybody have anything on your heart this morning? In a way of a quick announcement, today is our business meeting, and after our service this morning, we'll dismiss, and after everybody that needs to leave, we'll come back in, and we'll have our business meeting today. And just as a reminder, please keep that on your heart today, that everything will be according as God would have it to be. And so be prayerful for that also today. Just a quick reminder. We're going to take our reading lesson today. If nobody has anything on your heart, from the 7th chapter of the book of Mark. Turn to the 7th chapter of the book of Mark for is where we'll take our reading lesson. The preliminary part of this chapter, just kind of give you an idea of what this starts out with. In this chapter is when that the disciples themselves had went in to eat, and some of the Pharisees and the priests and the scribes, they noticed that they didn't wash their hands when they got ready to eat. How many of you have ever done that sometime or another? I've done that a lot of times. You know, you're out in the field, there's no water to wash, no place to wash your hands. Just go ahead and just eat up. The Jews, and especially the Pharisees, had gotten to a place where that they thought that it was a sin not to wash your hands and then eat. Now, some of our kids would be in big trouble, wouldn't it? Some of us would be in big trouble. We get in enough trouble with our wives, don't we, Brother John, for not doing something like that. But we do that from time to time. But they thought it was a sin. Now, let's drop down to verse 14. Jesus had done rebuked them for what they said about that and how they rebuked the people on that matter. But Jesus says here in verse 14, "And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand." Understand. I want you to get that part. "There is nothing from without a man that entereth into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." That's our reading lesson today, and that's verses 14 through 16 for our reading lesson today. Our initial thought for this message today, and I want you to pay a close attention to this title. It is the origin of your sin. Maybe I don't always title my messages like that, but I want you to notice there is a fourth word there. Not the origin of sin, but your sin. No, it's important for us to realize where our sin comes from. One of my granddaughters has gotten to the place where that she has an excuse and she says, "I didn't know," or "it's not my fault." I'm hearing people say, yeah, I hear that one. That's what we tend to do. I didn't know that. Or, "it's not my fault." We're talking about the origin of your sin today. Now, as we tend to look at our scriptures today, first of all, I know we all talk about where sin began, and I'm not going to go into that too much, other than to read you the 12th verse of the 5th chapter of the book of Romans. If you want to turn there real quick, catch up with me, it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." You see, when Jesus was talking to them here in this day, these men had in their minds, well, it's but for the very fact that they did not wash their hands that they are sinners. We live in a day and age where people have in their minds, this thing causes you to die and go to hell. How many of you have ever heard somebody say, "Lying will send you to hell"? You ever heard somebody say that? If you lie, you're going to hell. I think that means every one of us is going. Every human being, I don't mean just this church, I mean every one of us as human beings, we lie from in one form or another, somewhere or another, at one time or another. You're doomed if that's true, and it's not. What I'm talking about today is the origin of your sin today. We know that Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden. We know that that nature passed down upon all of us unto us. You'll remember that when Noah, in his day, God looked down upon man and he noticed something about them. He saw man in that day, and his words was that their imagination was evil. In the 8th chapter, and this is what I'm going to give you, this is a secondary verse going along with that, and what he says in the 21st verse of the 8th chapter of the book of Genesis is this: "The Lord smelled the sacrifice," is what he's talking about, "of Noah, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. He says, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth." We understand today that we live in a day and age where we tend to think it's worse than it's ever been. But the Lord said here, man's imagination is evil from his youth. That gets every one of us into this. Now, the Bible in the book of Job tells us that the that a man or a child born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Let me give you another verse that you may have not heard before. In the seventh verse of the fifth chapter of the book of Job, it makes this statement. Yet man is born unto trouble. And this is the part that I want you to get to go along with that trouble that we're talking about today. And in case you're wondering what I'm talking about, trouble, it is the fact that we have a sinful nature. That this sinful nature is what is causing us to sin against God. It's not about the foods that we eat. It's not about the actions we take. Those are sins in some cases, as the Bible directs it to be. But for to us to realize and know that sin is part of our nature, first of all, we're born with it. But here, you know what he says, as, and that word as, and I don't remember as far as what Miss Brown taught me is what that word as was called, but it was a word to show that it had a likeness unto what he was saying. But he said, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And what he's talking about is like a campfire. We sit around bonfires from time to time, and you see the flames as they go up. And from time to time, you'll see the sparks fly upward. It's a natural thing, you might say, to a certain extent. It's natural. It's what's going to happen. With mankind, we are sinful creatures. Each and every one of us are a sinful creature. What the Bible tells us in the book of Romans is this, that we have all sinned. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, when we sin, and I'm not talking about the sin of not washing your hand, I'm talking about when we sin, we are short of the glory of God. Many times, and I hadn't planned on using this, but many times we as individuals, we think that maybe we're pretty good. We think we're pretty straight. Maybe we think that we are living the very best that is possible. And usually what we'll turn around and do is look at some neighbor or somebody else that we see, and we'll compare them to us, thinking that we are the one that is the better, the one that is the greater of the two. And we might be, but the actual fact of the matter is we're not to compare ourselves to this one or that one or somebody out there on the street. We are to compare ourselves to the glory of God. For God is our judge. God is the one that set the standard as to what is right and wrong. When you have a standard that is in place, it is a thing that says this is the way it is. And that's what God has said. These things are sinful. Now, the origin of our sin is natural, is what I'm trying to tell you in this day. It came from Adam into us. Through our bloodlines, it continues to follow us throughout our lives. So today, what makes it sin? What shows us our sin? We've talked about its part of our nature. We've talked about it's going to happen because it just does. Each and every one of us are sinners in the sight of God. But what causes us to realize that it is sin? Now, the way that Paul put it in the seventh chapter of Romans was this way. He compared himself to the origin of sin and his knowledge of sin. And what he said, and the way he started the seventh verse off, he said, what shall we say? Is the law sin? The law itself that God gave was not sinful. Paul said in the Galatian letter, it was a schoolmaster to lead us unto God. But he said, many people get in their minds, well, because this is, you're saying this is wrong because the Bible says it wrong. What gave God the right to say that it was wrong? We live in a day and age where people says, well, this makes me feel good, thus it's okay. It doesn't matter what you believe. And truthfully, it doesn't matter what I believe about certain factions of individuals, but the fact of the matter is, it's about what God has said. And what God has said is sin. And what God laid out for mankind to understand and know his very thoughts, you'll find most of it in the books of Exodus, Numbers, and Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. You'll find his laws. And many people will say today, well, we don't have to follow those laws like they did. And truthfully, no, we don't. They had a very distinct thought as to the ways that they should do it. They had ways that they did, and it was to lead them to God. But those laws are there for our benefits too. When the Lord said, thou shalt not kill, he did not exempt us because we're not Jewish. The Bible gave us instructions to follow and to say these things are sin. Now, let's go back to our reading lesson. The idea that got the apostles and the disciples in trouble that day was an idea that they had to wash their hands before they ate. The idea was it was something that was they needed to do. And because of that, they thought it became sin. Now, if you go over there and read in that book of Mark there that we read a while ago, if you read up there before, what they actually did, it was a tradition of the fathers. It was not written in the law. Yeah, there were certain things that were written as laws as far as them cleansing and such as that. But when it got down to actual being sinful, it wasn't in there. It wasn't in there that they absolutely had to wash their hands. We live in a day and age in which the individuals today have changed the rules of God. But God has not changed, has he? We are to follow his words, his laws, his ways. The Bible tells us to honor our government, to honor the laws of the land, as long as it does not go against what God has said. If our country made a law that prostitution was legal, we are still not to go along with that because that's adultery. If they made a law that said it's all right to take from your neighbor, we shouldn't abide by that law because God said, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not take those things that are there. But these things were put in place and God put it in here. And what he said, nay, I had not known sin. He said, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust except the lust. The law had said, thou shalt not covet. You see, we're following the ways of God. There is a law, a rule, I should say, in this book that tells us what is right and wrong. And by those rules, we are to live in this day. We are to follow those things which God has laid down. And the purpose is that you might live a life for God. That's the important part there today. That you might live a life for God. I quoted the scripture out of Galatians a while ago where it said that the law was a schoolmaster to draw them unto the Lord. And what it says, what he's saying there, the schoolmaster keeps a line for each and every individual to where they can find God. Will they know how to get saved? Not if we don't tell them. Will they know how to find God? They'll get in the general direction is what they'll do. They'll listen when a man of God speaks. When somebody that is led of God, they'll listen because they will have primed themselves to follow the words that God has laid down, the rules that are there. You see, the origin of your sin is natural. It comes through Adam. The sin of unbelief is what separates you from the love of God. The sin of unbelief is what will drive you into a devil's hell. But the fact of the matter is, the daily sins, the things that these people were talking about here in this day, they were not the things that defiled the inside of a man. If you go back over to that seventh chapter of Galatians, and after that Jesus had made this statement, the disciples didn't understand. So many times they did not understand. Lord knows I don't understand. I figure most of you are like that. You don't understand everything that Jesus said. But they said unto him, Lord, help us to understand these things. And he said, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever things from without entereth into a man, it cannot defile a man? I'm going to tell you today, I'm not in favor of you drinking alcohol. No. The scriptures point you away from that. Same thing for drugs. It doesn't call it drugs, but it's the same effect that drinking is. But it's not going to be that alcohol or that drug that's going to defile your soul. It's not going to be what defiles you and sends you into a devil's hell. But what it will do, it will take you away from God. It'll take your understanding away. How many of you have ever seen somebody that was so drunk, whether it was alcohol or drugs or something else, that they really did not know where they was at? They didn't know what they were saying. If you talk to them, have you ever seen one that couldn't understand what you was telling them? Even a simple instruction? Nope, walk this way. They went that way. You see, all of these sins that we're talking about will lead you away from God. Those little sins, they do not defile in here, but they lead you away from God. You take an individual, and I remember hearing years ago about a young man who had a desire to be saved, and he was trying hard. He went from place to place, but then he got out into the world, and what he did was he quit searching. He quit searching for God. I want you to think about that for a minute. First of all, I want to take this to us that are saved. You ever search for God? Oh, there's a lot of times I get to searching for the Lord. I get to looking for Him. And I get to wanting his blessings. So I start looking for him. But you let something come up simple. Well, you got to work on this or it's going to fall down. Okay, well, I need. And I get to working on those things and I forget about working for God. You ever do that? Think about how sin leads you away. There's a lot of times I'll think, well, boy, I need to study, but UT's on TV. I better watch that. A lot of times I think about, I need to be praying for this one. But Lord, I'm to do this. Now, let me give you one here. I believe it's in the book of James. I believe it's where it's at. I'm probably going to tell you wrong. But it says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is what? Thank you. It is sin. See, the origin of sin. How many of you have ever heard this statement? Well, the devil made me do it. There was a comedian when I was younger, that was his catchphrase. The devil made me do it. If he looked at somebody wrong, it was the devil that made him do it. If he took a drink, it was the devil that made him do it. Whatever he had in mind about it, it was the devil made him do it. No, it was not the devil. It was you. How many of you knew that it was wrong, but you did it anyway? We are all guilty of those things. I'm going to give you just a couple more places and then I'm going to quit. Go to the 14th chapter of Romans. For us that are saved today, I want you to get this part in here. In the 14th chapter of the book of Romans, the 13th verse, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. How many of you has ever caught your toe on a little bitty thing that's about that tall and you just flat out wiped your face out? I have. How many times have you been caught by a brother or sister doing so-and-so and it caught you and it brought you right straight to your face? Not in prayer, but it just broke your heart. How many times did you be the one that set the stumbling block? Why is it important for we as God's people to live a righteous life? Because one of these kids is watching you. One of these brothers or sisters is watching you. And when you're walking along in your life and you're looking at, they're looking at your sin and all of a sudden they're doing this because you've cast a stumbling block. Now, Look for verse 14. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. You know, we are so many times a people that we look at things and we say, well, that's not right. That's not the way that I was raised up. I remember hearing a preacher say about a particular church one time. Well, they said that church took up their collection in an offering plate instead of a hat. And that individual looked at them. Well, we take it up with a hat and thus they are not right. Do we as people do the same thing? I believe in dressing well. I believe we ought to give God our best. I do. Give them the very best. You're not bringing it for me. You're bringing it for him. I don't want anybody to take offense in this. You give God your best. If it's a pair of blue jeans, I'm proud to see you. If you have a t-shirt on, I'm proud to see you. If you have a three-piece $500 suit, I'm not going to be wearing one, but if you have one of them, I'm proud to see you. That's the way God wants us to look at it. But some people take offense in those things. But notice what he says here. He said, they esteem anything to be unclean. To him, it is unclean. And that's what the Pharisees had done. Now, the Lord used it for a purpose of teaching. They needed to know that it's not what went in here that went and went out through the other end, we'll say. It's not that that defiles an individual, but it is what proceedeth from the heart is the way it's put in the book of Luke. That's what changes it. Now, here's our reminder, and I'll close out with this, Brother Brad, if you want to get ready. In the second chapter of Ephesians, how often do we quote the second chapter of Ephesians? Well, I quote it quite a bit, don't I? I like to use these verses, but I'm going to give you a different look at it today. In the third verse, it says, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past in the lust of the flesh. Anybody guilty? Let me back up just a second. If you're here today and you're lost and you're worried about what you said somewhere or another or what you did, maybe you took a drink sometime or another, maybe you're worried about those things that you've done sometime or another and you think that's what's separating you from God, no, it's not. And even if it was, I want you to listen to the rest of this these verses. He said, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past in the lust of our flesh. We all get caught up in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We go through that. We have been through that. Sinners go through that. Saved individuals go through these things, he says. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. What does that mean? Before we were saved, we were the children of wrath, wasn't we? We were the ones that were going to have the wrath of God on us. I hate to tell y'all this. We still make God angry. We still make God angry. Because he looks at us and he thinks, you know to do that, right? Why didn't you? The Spirit moved you. Why didn't you? The Spirit told you not to take that drink. The Spirit told you not to look at that woman. The Spirit told you not to look at that man. The Spirit told you not to pick up that item. The Spirit tells you all the time. Yes, the Spirit does. Well, that's another sermon. But listen to this fourth verse. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, he is merciful to us. And this fifth verse is one main verse. Even when we were dead in our sins, the origin of your sin today lies within the depths of your heart. Your thoughts, your desires, your wants. When you get to the place where that you're willing to look for the mercy of God, when you're willing to look to the glory of God in that time, he says, even when we were dead in our sins, he hath quickened, and that word means made alive. He quickened us together with Christ. We're put together with Christ. We get the blood of Christ that washes our soul, that cleans us up completely, it says. And how? By the unmerited favor of God. That's the way that He works. His mercy looks down upon us. His love that He has for us. But it all comes together under the unmerited favor, grace of God. The unmerited favor of God to lead us back to Him. When we have gotten our hands dirty and we have eaten that, when we have done that, when we have gotten to that place, yeah, we can wash our hands. You remember how Pilate washed his hands? He said, I'm washing my hands of the blood of this man. Did he wash anything off? No. Where was his sin? Right here. It was right here, wasn't it? It's in his heart. We as saved, we are to keep that in check as best we possibly can. You that are lost, you need to turn to God. Let me back up here a minute. We that are saved, we need to turn to God. We need to turn to God. That's what we need to do. While we stand and sing this morning, if you're here today and you want to be saved, that's what these benches are set aside for, is a place for you to pray. You can get saved in your seat. You can go out to your car and get saved. You can get saved out here in the woods. You can get saved at home. But this is a convenient place, and we'll gather around you and we will pray for you. We will pray for you while we stand and sing.
Page 10, favorite gospel songs.